And the Holy Spirit knows what you're going to be facing. Dad, when you need to talk with your son about something, you're going to need wisdom. You can't just say, oh, well, you know, whatever your mother says is good, I guess. Well, you know, honey, I guess your friends, you know, and if teachers are teaching, it must be right. We're going to need wisdom to impart to the next generation, to breathe into the next generation. And if we're silent and mute, that's why they listen to the world, because they got to listen to somebody.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. You've probably heard us mention from time to time a book written by Pastor Wayne called The Divine Mentor. Today, we continue a message taken from that book. Here's Pastor Wayne with part two of the message, The Divine Mentor.
The divine mentors that God chose to live in this book are incredible, but they await your audience. They have the wisdom of the ages here, and they left it behind as like breadcrumbs for you and me to follow, because every problem you will ever face has already been faced by somebody in this Bible. And they leave clues behind. The question is, will you give them audience? Because even though the wisdom of the ages is contained in these leather-bound covers, if we don't ever visit them, you'll never get them. Mary chose the good part, which will never be taken away. How often I've gone to these people and asked them questions, because you see, my best friends are in the Bible, and so are yours. How often I've walked with David and had discussions with him on the backside of the desert about leadership, about how to handle tough people, how to work with stallions under my care. I've talked with Moses at length about how do you handle grumblers and complainers in the church. I've talked to Solomon and asked him how he could be so wise in the beginning and so bad in the end. And boy, have I had some discussions with Samson about how could he be so dumb with women. You talk like they're still alive. Well, they sort of are, because in the book of Hebrews it says this. It says, Abel, though dead, he still speaks. Interesting. Because you see, there's only one book in the universe God promises to inspire, and that's the Bible. It's not a devotional book. It's not a religious magazine. It's not a podcast. It's the B-I-B-L-E. You say, the wisdom that God gave to Solomon, boy, I'd sure need some. I'd like some of that. Oh, you can have it. Because you see, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God be adequate and equipped for every good work. So you say, oh, so you mean the wisdom of the Bible can come to me? Sure, because the word inspired means God breathed. Well, God gave that wisdom to Solomon. I don't think he'll give it to me. Oh, sure he would. He'd be honored to. Because you see, God is not a respecter of persons. So how do I receive it? Well, if you'll read Proverbs or Ecclesiastes with an open heart, when you read those inspired scriptures, those God-breathed scriptures with an open heart, when you read it, God will breathe into you the same wisdom he breathed into Solomon. Into you. The knowledge of the Apostle Paul. Into you. Why? Because this is the only book in the universe that God will take and breathe into you. Is that cool or what? But if we don't give it audience, it doesn't really matter, does it? Well, my best friends are in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit knows what you're going to be facing in 2 weeks, Mom. Dad, when you need to talk with your son about something, you're going to need wisdom. You can't just say, oh, well, you know, whatever your mother says is good, I guess. It's like, dumb. No. Well, you know, honey, I guess your friends, you know, and if teachers are teaching, it must be right. like, no. We're going to need wisdom to impart to the next generation, to breathe into the next generation. And if we're silent and mute, that's why they listen to the world, because they got to listen to somebody. And so we've got to be people who understand what the Word of God is saying so that we can speak to them. And the Holy Spirit knows. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit knows what you're going to face next week? Raise your hand. Absolutely. How's about next month? How's about in 3 months? Yeah, here's the problem. He knows, you don't. But as you are reading the Bible, He's going to highlight something, and you're going to say to yourself, oh, that is so good. Write it down, because that's exactly what you're going to need coming up. And as you archive it in your heart, the Bible says, I'll bring back to remembrance all the things that I've spoken to you. So you have to archive it, because you're going to need it. Jeremiah saved my ministry. I was ready to bail out. I burnt out really bad about 10 years ago. And I had broken out in hives. I was having problems with my heart. I was going through anxiety and depression. And I thought, I'm done with ministry. This is killing me. And I was reading Jeremiah, and he said, you can do what you want, as it were, but here's the scripture. But as for me, I will not hurry away from being a shepherd after the Most High. I thought, okay, if you ain't going to hurry, neither will I. He saved my ministry. Joseph saved my marriage. I was reading, and you know about Potiphar's wife, when Joseph was sold into slavery, he went into Egypt, and Potiphar's wife, was attracted to him and was trying to tempt him. And so he was doing his work diligently and as a servant in the house. And then along came Mrs. Potiphar. And she said, come here, big boy. And Joseph was so good. He said, how could I sin against God? And well, she grabs this guy, rips his clothes off, and he runs in his underwear, his BVDs. He's taken off, and he runs out of the place. And so I read and I wrote on that. And my lesson was, whatever you got to do, Wayne, you better do it to just, stay true to God, because it's a test. And anyway, about 3 months later, I was in Estes Park, Colorado, speaking at a youth conference. And the youth conference was done when a Thursday morning. That was when my last session was. And my flight wasn't until Friday afternoon. So I was like Thursday morning, all day Thursday, Friday, all day Friday till late evening. And then I'd catch my plane. So I had time, and I didn't want to stay at the youth camp, done with kids. And so I just, on a lark, drove into Denver, and I like these little boutique hotels, that tucked away, it's real quaint. So there at the end of this alley, there was this little nice boutique hotel. So just, on a gamble, I went in there and I said to the front desk, do you have a room by chance open? She said, we do, we got one left. I said, yes, I'll take it. And I said, by the way, I'm just hungry for a steak. Do you have good steak recommendation? She said, by the way, this hotel is known for its steak. I said, oh, this is so cool. So that evening, I was down there in the steak restaurant, just cutting into this best, tastiest steak, when I have to admit now, this beautiful, pretty young lady came walking up to the table, and she said, how's your steak? Yeah, that's really good. And she said, how's the hotel? I said, this is so nice and so quaint. And she said, your bedroom. And she didn't call it hotel room. Your bedroom, how's that? And I said, it's nice. She said, well, I'm so glad. She said, can I sit down? I thought, man, she's so personable. I said, yeah, sit down. Man, she's got that aloha spirit. And so she sat down and she began talking to me. She said, are you alone? I said, yeah, I'm all alone. I'm batching it tonight, because I'm alone. And I don't go back till tomorrow. And she said, so you're here alone? I said, yeah. And I thought, that's what I just said. But she said, ask me again. So I said, yeah. She said, and your room is good? Uh-huh, and you're alone. I thought, man, I don't think she's a concierge. So I said, yeah, I'm alone. And then she said something interesting. She said, would you like company? Well, what I found out was, this was not just an ordinary boutique hotel. It was the center for the ladies of the night, where they met their gentlemen. And I was right there. And I'm a gentleman. And so she said, would you like company? Now, I wish I could tell you I turned into Billy Graham, and the Bible says, and letter to Christ, baptized her, and, you know, on my water glass or whatever. And she became a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, I wish I would have said that, but I got to be honest, you know, I didn't. The first thing that went across my mind was, what happens in Denver stays in Denver. And just, now this is a true story, just as I was contemplating that, like out of the corner of my eye, Joseph goes running down the hallway in his underwear. Whoosh! What in the world? And he came back around the corner. Whoosh! And he looked at me and he said, follow me. He took off again. Dude, this is nuts. And I looked at that girl and I said, excuse me, a friend of mine just arrived. I got to go see what he wants. I jumped up off my table, ran up to my bedroom, closed the door, locked it. Jumped on my bed, opened my Bible, and I said, God, talk to me. Joseph saved my marriage. But you see, if I hadn't spent time with that divine mentor, I don't think I would have been prepared. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between thoughts and spirit, joints and marrow, emotions. And nothing is hidden, but all things are open and laid bare before Him with whom we have to do. You see, when you start to gain the wisdom of the ages, it's going to be what you require. Psalm 119 says this, thy word has made me, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. And he continues and he says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Why, I understand more than the aged, because I observe your precepts. In other words, you've given me the wisdom of the ages, and as I follow your word, I'll be okay. I thought, that's it, isn't it? If you take a look at great concert pianists, they don't just play anything. They play certain things over and over and over and over and over again because it applies to everything, and that's called scales. Jean Paderewski, one of the greatest concert pianists of all time, lived in Poland. And when he was asked to be a part of a person who's involved with a war effort to play concerts around the country in an effort to support the war effort, Paderewski said, I will, under one condition. And his employer said, what? He said, you will allow me to continue to play scales as I've been for years, 3 hours every day. Scales. Major scales, minor scales, Locrian scales, Aeolian scales, whatever it might be. Why? Because it applies to everything. And there's the scales of a Christian. The scales of a Christian is a daily time in the Word of God that I take these nuggets of wisdom from all of these saints and divine mentors of old and archive them in my heart, because the Holy Spirit knows what you're about to face. You don't. But if you'll be faithful and choose, you what? Choose to archive them, write them down, put them away in your heart, you will have the wisdom of the ages when you come to a situation and people go, whoa, that was good. Wish I had that insight. You can, if you choose. The scales of a Christian. So what's that entail, Wayne? I tell people, bring four things with you every day. Four things. Have it ready. Are you ready? Here it is. Number one, bring the Bible. Have the Bible. Yeah, not a devotional book or, like I said, a podcast or a magazine, Christian magazine. Or bring the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Thank you very much. That was my solo for today. Bring the Bible. Because this is the only book in the universe God promises to inspire or breathe into you. It's amazing. Bring the Bible. The second thing is bring a pen. Just bring a pen. Why a pen? Because you see, when the Holy Spirit puts something in front of you and you say, ah, that's for me, I underline it. If you look through my Bible, I got stuff underlined. I got all kinds of notes. I got all kinds of things that constantly throughout the Bible that I'm just writing and writing and writing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's speaking to me on different things. What is that? Oh, I'm going to need that, I bet, in about a week or two. Maybe a year, but I'm going to need it. I call that the Holy Ghost highlighter. Agree with him. Third thing is, bring a journal. By the way, as a gift from this church, each of you is able to receive one of these journals as you go out the door. We have a bunch of them, and it's just a starter journal, but it'll help you to start your year. In fact, we want to make this year, we want to make this next year the year of the Bible. So that we as, amen, amen, we want to make it a year of the Bible. So that we'll become a people of the Word. You watch, you wait, you'll see how God rewards when He sees that we're a people of the Word of God. Not just to listen to it once a week, but every day, because storms are coming. So please take one of these, and it has New Hope West on it. It's a starter journal, so get a journal. And then a reading plan. In the front, you might not see it, but is a reading plan for every day of the week and the year. And it's got a little box where you can check it off. And so try your best to stay with it. There's even an expressed reading if you don't have a ton of time, because this only takes less than 20 minutes. Designed it in such a way where it takes less than 20 minutes to read. But if you say, I only have 12 minutes, then there's an express reading too. But try reading that through and then read until you get something. When there's something that stands out, stop and write it in this journal in the acrostic SOAP. Everybody say SOAP. I hope you use some this week. SOAP, S-O-A-P. You start off with the scripture, S. Matthew 10:37. What I speak to you in the darkness, shout in the light. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops. Matthew 10:27. Okay, you write that scripture down. O stands for observation. You just make an observation. God is speaking. So the real question, Wayne, is not, is God speaking? The real question is, are you listening? But you have to still your heart because He doesn't scream and He doesn't yell. He whispers in your ear. So I have to somehow quiet the world so heaven becomes audible. Observation. Application. A. S-O-A. Application. Today, I'm going to take time to hear what God is saying. I'm going to be like Mary, seated at His feet. I need to listen to His word, even though other distracting preparations are pulling at me. And then P is prayer. Lord Jesus, give me ears to hear and eyes to see. May your word open me up to what heaven is saying, because I need your instruction, especially now. In Jesus' name. Now that becomes an entry, and this becomes a legacy piece of what God has been speaking to you. Please grab one on the way out, and you write, what was that acrostic again? I forgot. SOAP, that's it. S stands for Scripture. O is
Observation.
A is
Application.
And P is
Prayer.
Good. And so this is a gift to you. Please grab one on the way out. And by the way, up in the bookstore, everything that I've shared is in a book here called Divine Mentor, and actually instructs you how to start the year of the Bible. It will be so helpful to you. So take a look at that. Let me finish with a story of, I go to China once in a while. I used to go a lot and not as much now, but I went to China one year to Beijing, and I was to train underground pastors from the Hunan province, maybe a 13-hour train ride. And so 22 of them came, and they would, you know, if you accrued all of the amount of people that they would oversee in the underground churches, it's just over 1 million. So these were very influential underground pastors. So we went into this hotel, an apartment building Because we didn't want to be noticed, because you have to have, you've got to register and you have to have permits for everything, even a small gathering. And you just can't meet like this. You have to have a permit from the state for every time you do this. And so we didn't. I just flew in, and so we went with it, because it takes months to get this permit okayed. So they kind of come up like two at a time, three at a time, thinking this is, you know, like 007 kind of stuff. This is crazy. And so we get into this room, just no furniture. It was a wooden floor, and they sat on the wooden floor, all 22 of them. I brought some Bibles from America with me. And but I tell you, even though it was like a secret kind of thing, it was, when they sang. I mean, with everything they had. And I thought, oh man, they're going to hear. And after the song service was done, and there's only 22 of them, I said, what would happen if they find out? And one lady said, well, you'll be deported in 24 hours and we'll go to prison for 3 years. I said, what? I said, how many of you have been in prison for your faith? 16 of them raised their hands. I thought, no way. Well, when you teach in China, you just don't teach like I do here, 35 minutes or so. Over there, it's Monday at 8. You're done at Monday at 5, Tuesday 8 to 5, Wednesday 8, all the way through Friday. You better have a lot to teach. So we started teaching, and I said, hey, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I passed out some Bibles, and I only had about 15 of them. And when I said, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, one lady handed her Bible to her neighbor. And I thought, what? Bibles are scarce. And she just gave it away. So I said, okay, let's read. And when we started reading, I understood why she handed it over. She recited the whole chapter by memory. Just recited it. When it was done, I went to her and I said, you recited the whole chapter. She said, yes, and I have many more memorized. I said, Where did you memorize all that scripture? She said, in prison. You have a lot of time in prison, you know. I said, oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah. And I said, but if they find that you have a Bible, don't they confiscate it? She said, yes. So I have friends come and visit me, and they get pieces of paper and they write scriptures down, chapters, and they hand it to me, and I memorize the scriptures. I said, and if they find that you have those pieces of paper, she says, yeah, they'll confiscate that too. And then with a little twinkle in her eye, she said, that's why you got to memorize as fast as you can. Well, when it was all done, you just fall in love with people, you know. And so Friday I said, you know, I'm heading back and you're going back to your province. And how can I pray for you? One lady raised her hand and she said, would you pray that one day we'll become like you? You got the freedom. This is crazy. Pray that we'll become like you. I said, no, I can't do that. Big eyes look back at me. Why not? I said, you see, in our country, if you have to drive more than 40 minutes or so, people won't come to church. In your country, you rode a train for 13 hours to come. No, I won't pray you'll become like us, because in our country, if the service goes more than an hour or an hour and a half, people don't stay. In your country, I've been here 5 days, 8 hours a day, and you're asking for more. In my country, if you don't have padded seats and air conditioning, people gripe. In your country, you've been sitting on hardwood floors for 5 days. No air conditioning, and you're asking for more. In my country, we have 2 Bibles average per family, and we don't read any of them. In your country, you hardly have any Bibles, yet you memorize scripture off of pieces of paper. No, I will not pray that you become like us, but I will pray that maybe one day we'll become like you. That's our prayer. Amen.
Amen. You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Divine Mentor by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.
When was the last time you were truly grateful for something? Not just saying thank you, but really meaning it. Even today, in a world where everything seems to be falling apart, and there's so much uncertainty in the air, there are many things and people to be grateful for. Today, choose to show gratitude. Who knows? Maybe you'll just start a chain reaction that will transform the world around you. And when you do, you'll help others remember that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.